What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, and mental health. And if you're looking for a mental health therapist, look no further than Dr. Briggs Bowling.
Hi, I'm Dr. Izetta Briggs Bowling. Connect with me for professional mental health counseling and support services designed to help individuals and families navigate stress, trauma, substance use recovery, and life transitions. Email me at drbowling@ibcyclebreakers.org or call me directly at 845-313-4496 for a free consultation. Now, back to Black Men Sundays.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
Today, I'm joined by Renee Reed, a real estate broker, investor, entrepreneur, and owner of Commonwealth Realty. Renee is passionate about helping individuals and families use real estate as a foundation for financial freedom, stability, and generational wealth. If you've ever wondered whether home ownership is the right move, how to think beyond simply buying a house, or how real estate can become a tool for building lasting wealth, this conversation's for you. Let's get into it. Renee Reed, welcome to Black Men Sunday. Sister, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. This is a great opportunity and I'm really excited. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. I'm really excited to have you on. I think this is the first time we've had a real estate broker, investor, entrepreneur, and owner of a brokerage. That's awesome. So let's jump right into this conversation. So tell us about your journey. How did you go from becoming a real estate agent to owning your own brokerage and investing in real estate?
Actually, I would say that my mom is the biggest mogul that I know. I mean, since as a little girl, I seen her have successful businesses. And here, even in Central Florida, we've had the largest African-American security patrol company. She actually led the way for a lot of other minority and Black-owned security companies to start getting government and city-owned contracts. But I'll tell you, it really opened up my eyes when she started dibbling and dabbling into real estate. And as I just kind of, you know, shadowed her and got more interested in it, I realized that real estate wasn't just about selling homes. It was more about what the real estate game offered. And every person that I met with her and then started on my own, everyone was looking for the same thing. It was stability. It was assets. It was freedom. And that's what real estate really gives you, something that you can leave for, you know, your children and your children's children. So again, it really wasn't just about showing homes and doing home tours. It was the stability and the freedom aspect of real estate. And I just got hooked. I'm hooked on it, you know, just in my personal life, what I'm able to do for my clients and what I'm able to do for even our, you know, inner, you know, city community. And it's just all surrounded with real estate.
Got you. Yeah. Cause I mean, you went from an agent to owning your own brokerage. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, I would just say the more and more I fell in love with it, the more and more I educated myself. I mean, believe me, it didn't happen overnight. You start as a, you know, a licensee and you're doing the educational part of it and getting the classes and paying your, you know, state fees and doing all of the tests, the requirements. But early on, you realize that, you know, real estate is very unique as it pertains to different, you know, businesses and industries, because right away as a realtor, once you get your license, you become a business owner. Like, you're dealing with everything, you know, whether you hang your brokerage with a, you know, Fortune 500 company or a smaller company, you know, as Commonwealth started, you're your own business owner. You're doing your budgeting, you're doing your marketing, you're doing your ins and outs and, you know, everything. So once I kind of gotten that done in the first, you know, few years, I had already became the business owner. I said, why not open this opportunity to more people? So the difference between becoming the business licensee in the beginning to 5 years later, opening the own brokerage was only the difference of of how many more people I want to introduce to the company. So if you're a licensee, you're your own business owner, but if you're a brokerage and you become the owner, it just gives you the opportunity to educate more people, to grow, to have more agents, you know, up underneath you, to expand the business. And that's really the biggest difference because, again, in the beginning, you're already your own business owner. Why not make it more grand? And that's the part I fell in love with, introducing it to more agents, you know, educating people on how to, you know, be grand and do it under a brokerage in a business. So it didn't happen overnight, but once you get the first few years under your belt, if you want to be grand, then do it. And that's what I did.
Wow, that's great information. You dropping gems already. Now you, yeah, for sure. This Black Men Sundays, let's go. Now you believe real estate is one of the most powerful tools for building freedom, stability, and the legacy. Why do you believe that?
Well, you just think about it, because real estate is one of those things where you can build wealth and it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. Real estate and being a wealthy isn't always the largest amount of money that you can invest in something. Sometimes it's, you know, how you maneuver, how you create it. You know, real estate is something that you can create. Where else can you go where you can, you know, maybe have $50,000, $10,000, $100,000? You're in real estate, you know, it's always out of the box. And that's something that, you know, really intrigued me, because it's not just, you know, oh, you have to follow these specific steps. Real estate, you can really make your own wealth. I mean, I talk to investors all the time and they always want to dibble and dabble into different things. They always are coming to me saying, okay, well, you know, what do you recommend? What do you suggest? And I tell my investors all the time, listen, I will look at this in two different lenses. Is this, you know, something worth investing? And then if it was my money, would I invest in it? And that can be from an Airbnb. It can be a huge apartment complex. It can be a small little duplex. It can be a long-term rental. So that's why I feel like real estate just has so many different avenues where you can, you know, become wealthy. You can increase your assets. You can have, you know, small portfolios, large portfolios. And like we were saying in the beginning, it's just something that you can just pass on down to generations. And as I dibble dabble into, you know, stocks and bonds and, you know, insurances, real estate just has that thing where it's just, it always come back 100-fold again, you know, with some strategy, but it is an opportunity to create wealth and be creative. That's the exciting part about it.
What's the biggest misconception that's keeping people from buying their first home?
The biggest misconception from keeping people from buying their first home is they think they have to have a lot of money down or they have to have perfect credit. And that's just not true. Just 2 weeks ago, I had a client who came in for, you know, something totally different. And we were just talking and she was saying that, you know, I have a childcare business as well. And she was saying that she may have to, you know, move her child because the landlord would not, you know, extend her lease, and she didn't know where she was going to go. And me, you know, being a owner of a real estate brokerage, I was like, well, have you ever thought about buying? And I'm telling you, Corey, the idea was so far over her head. She just thought she had to have a large savings or, you know, 800 credit score, you know, how much money down, where did she move? And literally we just started with meeting with a few different mortgage lenders, running her credit. She has really good stable income and she was pre-approved just like that in a matter of 3 days. So the biggest misconception is just that people don't know. You don't have to have tens of thousands of dollars in the bank. You don't have to have a perfect credit score. You do have to be able to be eligible and be approved by a lender. But I mean, that's just about having some kind of stable income. And it doesn't have to be six figures. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I'm just a, you know, school teacher. And that's unfortunate because I always think school teachers should be paid more than what they are. But I have a client, you know, 6 months ago, she was a school teacher and she was, you know, just on a single household income and she didn't think she can afford a home. In 2 months, she was in a home. So that's the biggest misconception, income and perfect credit. And there's so many programs out there, and I don't want to, like, you know, jump all in it, but there's so many programs out there that will help you with down payment assistance. A lot of my clients got into their home with no money down. And because this is the market where, you know, sellers are helping with closing costs or lenders are, you know, buying down interest rates. That's another big thing. You hear all these scary stories of, oh, the interest rate is so high and I should wait. No, you should not wait. You should literally look into what opportunities are out there for you, because lenders will buy your interest rate down, sellers will help with closing costs, and there's down payment assistance. So don't, you know, feed into the misconceptions of, oh, you have to be rich to buy a home or to have home ownership and to have this asset. People are doing it on their everyday incomes, everyday lives.
And when someone contacts you for the first time, what tells you they're truly ready to become a homeowner?
Noah, I want to know, when they contact me the first time, what are they currently doing? Are you sleeping on someone's couch? Are you renting? You know, I need to know, what is your day-to-day like? Because I need to know if you're stable enough to have home ownership. Home ownership is still a huge responsibility. You know, if you're working with a lender and they're going to give you this home loan, they want to make sure you are creditable and that you are going to pay that loan back. It is not free money. So just like if you were, you know, staying with even a family member, I have clients who stayed with mom to save up, you know, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. But I want to know, okay, did you pay your mom rent? You know, were you consistently in paying? Sometimes there's a situation where they stayed with mom to save up, but they were responsible for the electric bill and the cable bill. So I just want to know, what is your current situation? Do you have some kind of history of showing a responsibility to pay back, whether it's electric or, you know, rent? So I want to know what your current situation is. If you're renting, are you owning right now? Are you, you know, what's the story on, you know, how much do you pay each month? And then from there, I want to know if you have a stable income. Like, are you currently working? Because the fact of the matter is, you don't have to have a large income or perfect credit, but you do have to have something to show that you can pay back this mortgage, you can pay back the loan. So are you working? Do you have stable income? And how long you've been at the job? Another thing, now that we are asking, I would like to also add that there's a huge misconception of that you have to have steady income for 2 years. How about it's 2 months? So in the state of Florida, if you can show consistent income for 2 months, and that is reliable income, like, you know, they expect to be able to have that, you are able to have that position in the near future, you're eligible to have a home loan. So those are the biggest things I asked in the beginning. What's your current situation? Are you currently paying any kind of steady, you know, bill, whether it's rent or electric or cable? Can you show that history? And do you have a stable income? And do you foresee seeing have income in the near future?
And what's the biggest mistake you see first-time homebuyers make before they even submit an offer?
I would say the biggest mistake is pricing them out the game. Like, let's look at your income and your expenses, because there's still always a debt to income ratio, and make sure you're not trying to get into a mortgage that's going to be $400,000, $500,000 because you love this house and you are going to be what we call house poor in the real estate game. So I don't want you to, if the bank, and the banks will do this, you know, and that's why I think it's so important to have someone who's educated in the field and have experience, because I have seen where a lender or a bank will say, hey, you know, we will approve you for a $400,000 mortgage, but they really should be sticking till about $300,000 or $350,000, because as we all know, life happens. There's emergencies, you know, mechanics and cars go out, you know, people get sick. You may have to take time off of your job. So don't put every penny and cap yourself out to where you're house poor, like you don't have any, you know, room to fluctuate or move, you know, because of this, you know, huge loan that you've gotten into.
When me and my wife bought our house 8 years ago, you know, our realtor told us, make sure you're not house poor, because we were trying to get the maximum amount of house. And I'm glad we got the house that we could afford, but we got lucky, you know, we were in a good area and the house was actually awesome. A little bigger than what we were actually looking at. So that worked out. But I love the fact that you mentioned house poor, because I felt like if we would have gotten our house at the maximum amount that we could actually pay, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, that was almost 8 years ago. So our property values gone up a lot.
Really? Yeah.
Our property values, yeah, because that skyrocketed, that means our mortgage payment has gone up some as well. So, yes. You know, yeah. So I definitely love the part about not being house poor, because once your property value goes up, or, you know, you start making repairs, you get a new roof,
exactly.
You know, you get a new gate, you get anything that's going to increase your property value, you know, boom, your mortgage payment goes up as well. So I love
it
that
does.
Point you made. For
And that's
sure.
what I tell people, like home ownership, it is a huge responsibility. You're going to have expenses, you're going to have repairs. So don't max out your budget on this big, beautiful house. A lot of people will say when they buy the house, then they want to decorate, then they want to get furniture. And it's okay. Believe me, when we bought our house, we didn't really have every room furnished, you know, and that takes time. So just give yourself grace, give yourself time, and have a plan. Definitely don't be house poor. Don't max out your budget just because you can afford it. And another piece of advice that I want to remind, you know, everyone and the viewers, that it's gonna be your first home. It doesn't have to be your forever home. So start with something that you like, that you love, that you're comfortable with, and you feel like you and your family are safe. But it doesn't have to be the $1 million home today.
And when people tour homes, what are they paying attention to that really doesn't matter? And what should they really be looking at instead?
Yeah, you know what? I feel like when people tour homes, there's a big emphasis on like, you know, kitchen space. Oh, my wife loves to cook and, you know, she has to have this kind of certain kitchen. But I mean, people come in and they renovate, you know, kitchen spaces all the time. The biggest things that you want to really look into, especially if it's your first home or the home that you're going to be in for the next few years, is the space. Like, you know, don't think that you know, if you need a 3-bedroom, don't, you know, short yourself and go to a 2-bedroom, because I have seen families do that and they regret it. Make sure if the kids need their own room, or you have a son and a daughter, it's not really typical that they will share a room for a very long periods of time. So make sure the bedrooms are assigned. You have, you know, the space that you need. But I wouldn't really pay a whole lot of, you know, detail to, oh, the living room space. Or, you know, if there's an additional, like, you know, breakfast nook area. I get people say that, oh, well, we don't really eat, you know, dinner at a table. And, you know, they want to start focusing on like the common area space or the kitchen design, because those things can be redesigned and renovated. But your overall, you know, needs that are like a necessity for the family, bedrooms, you know, how you guys are going to work out, you know, the daily schedule, getting up in the mornings. Does everybody have their own assigned bathroom? Is there a guest bathroom option? Another big thing is that I had a family a few months ago where her son was handicapped, and she said, well, I really need this house because of, you know, the handicap accessibility. But she went to go to something else that was more, you know, spruced up, and her son didn't have the bathtub that he needed, you know, and that was it put more strain on her, you know, long term. So I feel like know what your family needs on the day to day. Really picture yourself in that house, your day to day operations. If you have little ones, do they have a joint bathroom? Do they need separate bathrooms? And the same thing, you know, with the adults in the house. Are the adults okay with, you know, showers, or do they need like a bathtub? And then another thing, don't think that if you're in the older, you know, age, that you can go up and down the stairs for the next 10 years. If you know that you don't want to do those stairs, don't get a two-story house. It's just that simple.
Great
So just think
information.
about the day-to-day. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And tell us about a client who believed home ownership wasn't possible. What changed, and what was that journey like?
Oh gosh, I mean, I don't know where to start. Like I said, I mean, I really pride myself into really educating and, you know, helping out our community. We do first-time home buyer classes. I'm really educated in like NACA and, you know, the SHIP programs. I could tell you from the dollar amount on which county has what. So there's so many different stories, Corey. I would say that one of the most recent ones that was a little bit more emotional is that there was a family, and the real estate isn't always, you know, roses and happy. There was a couple that were splitting and they were divorcing, and I had to, you know, sell their property. And the wife just really, she really struggled with the decision to sell the property, and she really couldn't afford it. You know, with a divorce, they had to separate. It was already court ordered. They needed to, you know, sell the house and split the assets. But she had young children, and she didn't want to be in an apartment, and she knew it wouldn't be smart, you know, to and just to give you a little history, this was her only house she had ever owned. So she had been in this house for about 20 years. And then she, you know, the years down the road, they had children, and the children are not over 18, and she still wanted them to have a secure place where they could call home. But she couldn't imagine how she was going to do it with the divorce and the debt that had came about, and then with her now single adult, you know, income, single household income. But we looked at it, you know, from, you know, I got her the top dollar, you know, for her sale. So she did have a little bit more money in savings than she thought she would. And we started working with the lender right away. Even before her house sold, we started working with the lender just to see what the options were, because I didn't want any surprises. And of course, I want to educate her. And even if it wasn't going to be right away, I wanted to give her a path for 3 months down the road, maybe 9 months down the road, how we can get home ownership again. But luckily, she was able to get into her house, and she literally got into a new house, even though she didn't think she could because of the debt and the divorce and her now minimum income. She was able to sell her house and get into her new house 3 days later. Oh, and it came with, you know, down payment assistance. It came with a little bit of credit from the seller. So that's what I mean by, you know, don't count yourself out. Get with someone who's going to educate, who knows the different opportunities, who's been in the game long enough, because every situation is different. You know, every seller is different. Some sellers have a little bit more money to give. Every county is different. Orange County always has more to give than Seminole County when it comes to some of the down payment assistance programs. So those are the things you really have to know. Sometimes, you know, realtors will just shoot you over to a lender and they'll let the lender work out the kinks, but the lender doesn't really know what that seller is willing to give. You know, that's part of the realtor's job. So that is just one of the stories I'm super proud about. And at closing, she just cried, happy tears. And again, you know, it wasn't just about her. That's the beautiful thing about it. It was just the young kids that she was raising and not, you know, throwing their world upside down, because, you know, kids, you know, they're precious, and it, you know, you want to just keep their lifestyle as structured as much as possible. And that's what real estate gives you, you know, that stability and that freedom that we talked about.
And as both a broker and an investor, how do you evaluate a home differently than the average buyer?
You know what? I want to really evaluate, especially in this economy. And again, this changes, you know, it changes, you know, pretty often. But when I'm going into a deal, I want to evaluate like the investment cost. Like, you know, the return is good. And, you know, your ROI is amazing. So of course, you have to consider that. But how much is it going to cost me or you or the next investor to really get into this property? And it's not just the down payment. It's like, if there's anything that needs to be done with the house, the repairs, what's it going to cost you over long term? So I really look at initially not how much money I'm going to make, but what my investment cost is going to be, and then what my return is.
Gotcha. And what mindset shift has to happen for someone to stop seeing a home as just a place to live in and start seeing it as a wealth building asset?
You know what? I think the mind shift has to be, you know, who are you really rooting for? Are you rooting for yourself and for your family and for your children? Are you rooting for, you know, Mr. Bob, who you're just paying, you know, you're paying his mortgage? And when I started, you know, explaining that to and opening, you know, my clients' eyes to that, because you can pay a comfortable rent, which is not really comfortable, you know, nowadays, but you can pay rent where you can do it every, you know, month. But what are you building for yourself? Where is the legacy? And then you get into these rental situations, and then there's so many restrictions on what you can do to the house and upgrades and, you know, repairs. You know, yeah, it costs you something because, again, like we said, home ownership is a responsibility. But I don't want to have to call over to the maintenance office and wait 5 days for someone to get back to me. So I think the mindset has to be that, who am I rooting for in this life? Is it me or is it Mr. John, and I keep, you know, paying his rent every day and making him richer? And you know, the cost of living goes up every year, as we know, whether it's our home or their home. So every lease renewal, you're going to get an increase. So why not build your own? You know, if I'm going to be paying more, I want to build something more for myself and my family, and I'm going to have some kind of asset at the end of it.
Gotcha. And how have you seen home ownership completely change the financial future of a family?
Oh, gosh. Again, so many stories. I mean, after, you know, 15 years in the game, you just see so many different stories and so many success stories. And, you know, I get clients that, you know, message me and send me pictures of, you know, maybe when I met them, the kid was going off to middle school and now he's going off to college, and they've have, you know, created this income and this stability to where now they're going off to college and they're debt free. So I would just say one of the stories is I had an investor who was looking to get into a rental property where they would purchase purchased the property and they were rented out. And they would do like a long-term lease, like, you know, a 12-month stay for renters. So when we got into the property, you know, got a really, really good deal on the purchase, but we looked at the, you know, market in that area, and it can change and it will fluctuate. So you really have to just stay on top of it. But she could rent out and make some good money, but if she could do Airbnb and make triple the amount. So that's what she did. You know, she got into it thinking it would be like a long-term rental, but it turned out to be a short-term rental. And that rental, that property, that investment that she purchased turned into being able to buy two and three more. She now owns 7 Airbnbs. And this is right here in, you know, Central Florida area. Like, she has 2 in Davenport, 2 in Orlando, 1 in Kissimmee. So, I mean, she just got that one again, like, where she thought she would probably, you know, profit about $1,000 a month. And that's really good, because that rental amount would have paid her mortgage, so no money out of her pocket, and she would have still profited almost $1,000. But now for that one, she was profiting almost $3,000 just by Airbnb in it. And that turned into her having several more. So that's probably one of my biggest success stories. Just a person who thought they were just going to have a long-term rental now have, you know, several Airbnbs.
Wow, that's impressive and inspiring at the same time. Now, when you look at your most successful clients, what habits or decisions do they all seem to have in common?
They have a plan and they're consistent with it. Like, real estate is not one of those things you can just, you know, fly by night, over the whim. You know, you have to have a plan. And I mean, whether you're visual, you need to write that plan down, you need to perfect it, you need to throw it in ChatGPT, you know, but have a plan. You know, if you're visual, have a plan, write it down, check it, you know, frequently. But you definitely have to have a plan and you have to be consistent with that plan. So if your plan is, I'm going to put X amount of dollars away each month, do that. And if 1 month, if you fall short, make up for it the next month. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to have a plan to come back to, and you have to owe it to yourself to be consistent and be honest. And somehow have some kind of accountability partner, whether it's a spouse, whether it's your real estate broker like me, or a friend, or a mother. Like, you have to have an accountability partner, because I feel like the people who have a plan and are consistent with it, they tend to do better. And if you feel like, you know, of course, make sure the plan is reasonable. Don't say, I'm going to spend every single dollar that I have left and throw it into my savings. No, maybe it should be a 20% or 30% of whatever you have remaining after you pay your, you know, your bills. And then if you feel like, you know, you're that person that, you know, like me, sometimes you just need to get up and go to the spa. You need to go blow some money on a vacation. Have an accountability partner. Because when I tell my husband, I'm going to put this amount of money away, oh, he makes sure I do. Sometimes I'm like, oh man, I should have, you know, changed my accountability partner. But if you need that, do that, because the end goal is just, it's so much sweeter. It's so much better once you make that goal.
Oh yeah, that's great information. Now it's time for the hard question. Are you enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
I am. This is so good. I really am enjoying it. I just feel like, you know, I'm educating and I'm doing something that I love, and I'm talking about something that I love and that I'm passionate about. And you're so easy to talk to, Corey. So this is great.
I got you. Now, for someone who's been renting for years and feels like they'll never own a home, what would you say directly to them?
I would say, call me. Because, I mean, there is a path. There is a plan that you can execute. Like, believe me, if you're renting for years, there you can own. Like, a lot of the times I get people into a property and they have a purchase and they have a beautiful house that they love, and they're paying less than they were for rent. So you really should look to see what your options are. You talk to a lender. Let's see what you have saved. Like, don't give up on home ownership. It is one of the, you know, biggest and toughest decisions you might make. But, you know, there's a plan out there to keep it really simple and make it easy. If you want home ownership, you deserve it. And there is a plan out there for you. Like I said, don't feel like you have to have thousands of dollars. You know, you have to have perfect credit. I got one lady who called me. She said, well, you know, I got sick about 2 years ago and I had some late payments. Okay, life happens. And when you're dealing with a lender, a lot of people think it's just a machine and it's a computer. No, those lenders are people too. They have underwriting and different things that they can go through to explain that. I had a client who, you know, had some late payments on a car payment, and the lender said, hey, you're still a strong buyer. We can get you approved, but we need a statement on why this car payment was late. And she had just had a baby. So she had thought she was going to go back to work, you know, after her maternity leave. team and she needed to take a little bit more time. So there's always a plan. There's always a course of action that you could take. I believe if you want home ownership, it's such an amazing reward. You should have it. You just have to have a plan.
And my final question for this episode, 5 years from now, what do you hope every first-time home buyer says was the best decision that they made before purchasing their home?
I mean, I would just say that they did their research, you know, before jumping into home ownership. They really looked at everything. So when they are in that home, it's something that they're enjoying and it's not a headache and it's not something that they regret. When I'll give you an example. When we move forward with the purchase, I tell my client, I want you to drive by this house and make sure this is the neighborhood that you want to be in. And don't just drive by the house when we're doing the home tour. And when you put in the offer, I want you to drive by it early in the morning, like before you're going to work. So if you have an 8 to 5, try to drive by it at 7 a.m. or 7:30. Drive by it at the busiest time on the weekend, like 6 p.m. on a Saturday. And then try to drive by it in the middle of the night, one day, any day of the week. But like, get up at like 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and drive by this neighborhood, because this is the house you're going to come to every day for the next how many years? We don't know, but this is your house. So I want you to really love this neighborhood. I don't want you to have any questions on if this is where you want to be and raise your family or retire. So drive by the house, do your research before you jump into this house, make sure it's something that you can afford. So I would just say research before you jump into anything. I want my clients and anyone who has home ownership feel confident that they did the research, they did their homework before jumping into, again, it's the biggest decision you would make in your life probably.
Got you. Great information. Great information all show. I think you're what they call a gem dropper. Every question I asked, you came with powerful points.
Thank you.
Full of gems. So yeah, you completely crushed it, Renee. So for people that are listening to this episode, how can they contact you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm on all of your social medias as Realtor Renee. That is RealtorRenee, 2 E's after the end. And yeah, on CommonwealthRealty.com, you can come to my website. You can call me 321-234-7873. But definitely visit. I always am doing some kind of, you know, posting on social media. We do Real Estate Thursdays, Hot Topics. We break down the market and a lot of the Central Florida and surrounding areas. So definitely follow me, Renee, Realtor Renee, on all of my social media handles.
This has been an incredible conversation, but in our Sunday Circle exclusive, this is for our subscribers. We're going to take it a step further. We're going to talk about how to think like a real estate investor, the strategies behind successful negotiations, the mistakes that cost homeowners money, and how to turn your first home into long-term wealth. So if you're a Sunday Circle subscriber, I'll see you in the exclusive.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best.